Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, Israel, Mishpacha, to the fam. This is another Shabbat, another Sabbath, and it's truly an increase and a blessing to be able to partake of a day that was created for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Kwam Yashavala, Israel, it's time for us to rise. Circumstances are going all around us, going on all around us, and this is why we try and come back to our culture. Our culture is indicative of us keeping these commandments, which is a moral blueprint, a roadmap for us to, in order for us to be kodesh, to be set apart, to be holy, and to truly be representatives of the Most High in the earth, and to go to the four corners of the earth and preach this gospel to all the nations so that everyone might be awake. Before I get into that, let's go before our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we see the foundation being set for a global order and economy, a mandated healthcare system that's only designed to enslave us. We must prepare our hearts to draw closer to the Most High. And we do that through coming back to the commandments that he's given us. Our most important job is to fear him and seek him. Not fear him as to a point where we everything is grievous. We're afraid to the point where we're hiding from him. But it's the fear that shows respect, as you're supposed to respect and honor your mother and father. It's things that he's set in place. It's when you humble yourself and come to realize that all things were made by him. And he gave us these things to watch over them for him as he created this earth and created us. Keeping the commandments is a way of having a healthier life, living a moral life, and being able to get through this life. It is what you will be judged by. This is why we don't allow these certain pastors to tell us that the commandments are done away with, because whoever teaches that will be considered least in the kingdom of the Most High. The commandments are the laws on which we will be judged by. And we know, I've done too many shows to explain this, so I'm not going to really go into it. You can go into the archives. But we know that Christ came to fulfill the prophecies of the commandments, not do away with them. We don't serve a Most High that would start something and then abolish it and do away with it and say, well, I didn't need that. That wasn't necessary. If you believe something like that, then you don't understand how omniscient and omnipotent he is, how he can see what's going to transpire before it even happens. You're thinking within your own mindset to think that he'd come to a place where he would see something transpire that he didn't know about and change it. What is that? Who thinks like that? You're thinking, you know, earthly, worldly concept for you to think that he would come to a place where he would change something because of us. He knew full well before he brought us into the earth what we were capable and incapable of doing. And he gave us an opportunity to choose. But if you think that he did not know what we were going to choose, then you don't understand the Most High. Whosoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. Eyes to see as well. The transition of the earth, the atmosphere, and what's taking place. And the only way I can tell you and I know of to draw closer to him is by coming back to the commandments that he gave the children of Israel. Even Adam broke his commandments. His commandments are everything. When he tells us to do something, we're supposed to do it. And if you want to see yourself closer to him, come back to doing what he's commanded us to do. This is what the whole world fears, which is why they're trying to monitor us and see who is awake and put us on certain grids and monitor our activity, because they fully know prophecy that many of us would begin to awaken at the end of our 400-year captivity, at the end of an era of the Gentile rule, that we would awaken. But I want to talk today about commandments, because this particular lessons on the Shabbat is really to deal with the commandments and the things that we're supposed to do and the things that were written in the law for us to understand. So that's what I'm going to stick with today, and I want to talk about how in the commandments, there's over 613, but a lot of those are not applicable to us in this captivity, in this era, but there are ones that we can still aspire to keep. When we're in the wilderness, we will be back under the rod. We will be given the opportunity to draw closer to the Most High by keeping these commandments, and it's important for us to practice these commandments now and know that in doing so, you build a hedge around you and your family, that same hedge that was around Job that Satan couldn't approach because he had to get permission from the Most High. In the book of Job, you see, he says, you have a hedge around him if you remove it. So he allowed him to do so because he trusted him that much, Job, that he knew that Job wouldn't turn his back on him. And it's, which is why one of the most amazing scriptures ever, verses, is when Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was able to yet praise him despite his circumstance or his situation. He was steadfast in his love for the Most High and where he stood, which is where we need to be. We're going to have to aspire to, even in this final hour, these final seconds, as we are seeing the world actually preparing itself for an Antichrist government, mark of the beast, chip, collapsed economy, natural disasters, famine in the land. We're living in the time that you've read about, which is the final seconds, Jacob's trouble. Many of you will be tried and tested on what you believe. And know that they know who we are, who you are, who's awake, who needs to be re-educated, and possibly who needs to be taken away from this earth by them so that they can institute their government and their policies. I want to talk about today that in the laws there was a certain aspect of how we were supposed to treat Gentiles that were amongst us. We have a lot of people out here talking about the fact that all of Israel's black, who's Gentiles, who are not Gentiles, who are the Hebrews. I'm just going to get straight into it. I'm not going to give my viewpoint on what everybody else is talking about, but the fact of the matter is that the Most High knew that the Gentiles would be grafted in. And for a while, we operated as the Gentiles because we thought that's what we were until we began to wake up and realize that we are the people. Deuteronomy 28, Psalms 83. We are the people, and the Gentiles are the other nations that we are to deal with in a certain capacity and preach to and be a light to these other nations, and they are to follow us. The scripture tells us that they will wake up once Christ has returned and say, truly, these are the people of the Most High. And they will realize. Scripture speaks of that very clearly. But however, I want to talk about the treatment of Gentiles and even how in Scripture we were given a mandate on how to love the stranger, not to wrong the stranger in speech, not to wrong the stranger in buying or selling, and not to intermarry with Gentiles, and to exact the debt of an alien, which was the Gentile, and to even lend to an alien at interest. That one I really find interesting because we find them utilizing those practices on us at a very high interest rate, might I add. Let's look at the first one, to love the stranger. You look at Deuteronomy 10 and 19. Yeah, believe me, operating without my glasses here. So, Deuteronomy 10 and 19. I'm going to start at the 18th verse. It says, he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. The commandment is given that it said, actually, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So we have to be mindful that we can't preach hate speeches and constantly say that the stranger and the alien is Satan, he's the devil, he's this, he's that. When you operate like that, you almost give him too much power and put him in a place as if you fear him. And when the commandment is given for us to love them, when you're able to love from that standpoint, that gives you a certain strength, puts you in a certain disposition, It's something you must understand, man. To be confident and secure with who you are and where you are, you don't have to fear or put down. When you speak in the other capacity, it's because of anger and realizing you're in captivity and wanting to lash out. But when you become secure with who you are and knowing who you truly are and that you're a child of the Most High, created in His image, one of the children of Israel, you can love, and you can love with a secure mindset. So then again, Deuteronomy 10:18, He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. So there's a mandate right there to bless them, to give, and love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, remembering that our original captivity, that we were not even a part, but we were, you go back to the story of Joseph. Egypt was a captivity. They did turn on us towards the end, but when we first came to Egypt, it was a means of survival. That Joseph and his brothers and his family, his father and his mother, they were brought there in the midst of a famine and a time of lack and despair, and he was able to provide for them. And that's where we grew in large numbers, and then they enslaved us. But then the Most High brought us out. So it's important for us to remember that. We also had Moses, who grew up in Egypt. We had Christ, who hid in Egypt. We have Shaul, who was considered to be an Egyptian. He said, no, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. So you have to be mindful of that, that there will be strangers amongst us in different civilizations, Gentiles, but we must preach to them the gospel, which is the commandments, and be steadfast in what we believe in. And we do that. Mentoring has always been something that's done by example and by habit, to let people emulate what you do, because it's important to walk and live the way that you believe. Let's look at Exodus 22:20, because it says not to even wrong the stranger in speech. And when you have hate campaigns out in the streets, you're supposed to be preaching this gospel, but you're preaching hate campaigns. It says we shouldn't even wrong the stranger in speech. How can we win them? How can we win them? There will be other nations that will serve us when we come back into the land. So who are those people that are going to survive and live and serve us? If not the ones that we win over with our speech, our language, and how we carry ourselves in our transition and our being awake. So the Exodus 22, I'll start at the 19th verse. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall be put to death. Okay, that's not the one we want. We want Exodus 22:20. He that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Most High, Ahiah only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So we are actually given a commandment not to take him off, piss him off, vex him. We don't have to. I'm trying to get you to see something by me. Explain it like this. When you come into the knowledge of self and who you are, and having come from the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, wherever you may come from, you don't have to lash out, because you're secure with knowing that you were created in the image of the Most High and that you are His chosen seed in the earth. That knowledge alone should cause you to have a passive aggression, a strength that just knows where you stand, a strength that kind of puts you in a position of a song we play at the beginning of the broadcast, Lucifer, Son of the Morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth, because you realize you have that capacity. He can't touch you unless you allow him. The 21st verse said, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, remembering that we were strangers. These things are important. I realized I came on here late, so I don't really have that much time. So we know that also it's important for us to not to intermarry with Gentiles. And we find that in Deuteronomy 7:3. She's telling me I'm at the 92nd point, so we got a late start, but I want to cover some of this about the Gentiles, because there's a lot of talk to true children of Israel. Only black people will be allowed, and who's a, you know, it's just a lot of foolishness going on right now to distract us. We should just be standing up on these commandments, teaching these commandments in the four corners of the earth and getting our people to wake up and come back to them and getting baptized and everything and standing strong. That's where we should be. So it said in Deuteronomy 7:3, neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Most High be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. They're giving up your children to other nations that will have your children serving their gods. That's the thing about these other nations and races. They serve fallen angels. When you start talking about Islam and the moon god and Hindu and Hindi and China, Buddha, they're serving all these other fallen angels, fallen gods. And normally when your child goes off to marry another nation or race, they're enticed and seduced into serving or allowing these other gods to be respected in their home. This is what happened with Solomon. When one of his wives pouted until she was able to get him to worship her god, and he began to fall. Deuteronomy 7:5 said, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Most High, Ahiah, thy God. Ahiah hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon face of the earth. How powerful Deuteronomy 7:3-7 is. Deuteronomy 7:7 says, the Most High did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Most High loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Most High brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Boy, I'd love to stay right there. It's a powerful scripture. Let's move on to this debt thing, because I find this interesting that you have all these quick money payday loan places, and what they're doing to our people in our communities is exactly what he told us we're supposed to do. Deuteronomy 15:3, of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. What that is saying is that we're supposed to bless each other without charging interest and look out for the family of Israel and our people. But we don't even have a tendency to even think about doing that. We're not supposed to charge interest on our people. We're supposed to interchange what we have with each other, which is why we see the paradigm in Acts 2nd chapter, how we took up money on the first day to meet the needs of the people, the local body, the ecclesia of the area, take care of each other. We weren't 501c3 mandated, lined up with the government. We raised money to make sure everybody's needs were met, not just the pastor so he could drive a Bentley and live in a mansion and work on a TV show and be a superstar. No, to find out whose light bill's not paid, who doesn't have groceries, who doesn't have clothing, that's to take care of each other. But we were also mandated and told, but when we deal with Gentiles, other nations, we were to charge them interest. And we'll find that in Deuteronomy 23:21. Let's look at that real quick. It says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Most High, Ahiah, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Now when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thyself at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. Let's look at 23 and 19. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Deuteronomy 23 and 20 says, unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. It's clear right there, it says, but unto a stranger, the Gentile, thou mayest lend upon usury, meaning you may lend to make money unto the Gentile, meaning you can put interest on it to the Gentile. So when it comes to your brother, he forbids it. He says, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to do in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So in order to be blessed, you must give to those that are of your family, that are within. But he said, for those that are not within the family, the tribe of Israel, your brother, unto a stranger, you can lend upon usury, meaning to gain interest from them. Do some research and study of people. That's going to be it for today. Just wanted to cover those particular commandments, those laws as pertains to how we are to look at the Gentiles and treat them as they sojourn amongst us. I am Elder V. This is the Social Change Action Network and the Hebrew Study Show, knowing that this is the Israelite way of life. May you have a blessed Shabbat. And as we always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, for truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwan Yasharala Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you.